This podcast is a proud representative of The Wellness Company. Go to twc.health/alternatetake for all your wellness needs and type in the promo code alternatetake, one word, for 10% off. You guys, in today's world, health has never been more important. In fact, it's one of the coolest subjects we've been able to touch on here at Alternate Take, and we've gotten some amazing guests to have discussions with, including Dr. Peter McCullough, who you all know as probably the most famous doctor in the world ever since his episodes on Joe Rogan. He is the chief scientific officer of The Wellness Company, and nothing goes through this whole company without his knowledge. If it's certified by Dr. Peter McCullough, it's certified by us. The Wellness Company is unequivocally and unapologetically standing up for medical freedom and the right to affordable health care. This company has always put the patient first. If you go on their website at twc.health, you'll see all natural products and everything that's going to make you a better human being. Guys, let's get healthy before we even get to the hospital, before we get serious problems. This is the place you got to go. Go to the website, twc.health/alternatetake, promo code alternatetake, one word, for 10% off, and thank us later. Get healthy, guys. Your family's dependent on you. What up? This is Alternate Take. I am your host, Danny Rodriguez. Welcome back to the show. On this episode, we brought you guys some medicinal knowledge, baby. That's what we brought you. From the great doctor, Dr. Hadar Elbaz of The Wellness Company. Just a great, great's an understatement. She's an amazing human being. She comes from Israel, and she is a doctor of holistic medicine. We're talking functional medicine, such as how to fix leaky gut, such as, you know, how to detoxify heavy metals, stuff like that, man. Just an amazing human being with a wealth of knowledge and had a lot to say. We obviously spoke a lot about, you know, the current issues going on from her home country of Israel. And it was amazing to get her take on the issue, man. It's unreal. And best wishes to her and her family and all, and make sure they all stay safe. And then we also went into health, obviously, you know, and what she recommends on how to be a stellar human being. And that's what this podcast is all about, man. You know, how to get better at shit and how to get the alternate take of that, I guess. So without further ado, I bring to you guys the great Dr. Hadar Elbaz. Alternate Take, what is up, you guys? We are back again with another episode with the amazing Dr. Hadar Elbaz. How you doing, ma'am?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me here. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to have you. I've heard some great, great things. We've had Dr. Peter McCullough on the podcast a couple times now. And anytime we can have some sort of health expert on this show, it's just a huge blessing to us because we ain't the brightest. We got a lot of heart, but we ain't the brightest. So we need some guidance from people like yourself.
I'm sure you guys are bright enough, but happy to enlighten and add more to whatever information you need. So
awesome. Appreciate that. Well, do me a favor. Can you give the listeners here a little background on yourself and what you do in the medical field?
Sure. So I'm originally from Israel and I served in the military. And from there, I went to nursing school in New York City. Did that for almost a couple of years, realized it wasn't what I really wanted to do. Went on to pre-med and then acupuncture and Chinese medicine in San Diego. Got my master's and then I took it further, got my doctorate in acupuncture, Chinese medicine, and functional medicine as part of my training. And I've been practicing since then. In San Diego, I had a clinic and I had a practice, treated a lot of injuries and a lot of internal medicine as well. And during the pandemic, I learned how to do more online platform and functional medicine via telemedicine. So I started transitioning into that. Moved to Florida a couple of years ago, and now I've been doing more, you know, functional medicine, and I joined the Wellness Company, which has been an amazing journey so far as their director of functional medicine, still seeing patients in person for acupuncture injections or scar injections, and also with the Wellness Company, telemedicine and all the holistic side of things. So that's in a nutshell. I love healing people from the root cause and helping them get off medications and helping them kind of get their vibrant glow from within. So
That's great. I love that. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up, the wellness company, because I remember Dr. Peter McCullough mentioning that, that he's the chief scientific officer for them, and we are now a proud representative of them. So all you guys out there listening, twc.health/alternatetake, get your 10% off. But it's an amazing company. I do believe in their strong values of standing for medical freedom. I think that's huge, and making sure that the patient is first. I think that's the most important thing. I think that's what anyone wants to care about. I also wanted to touch on when you said when you're in medical school and there was things that you didn't like and you wanted to go a different route. What were those things that you didn't like?
Yeah. Unfortunately, with most of Western medicine, they only treat symptoms. They don't look at the patient holistically, and they don't look at the root cause of what's causing, you know, your headaches, your weight gain, your fatigue, your skin issues, whatever the case is. They never actually look at the root cause. They treat symptoms with medications most often. They don't look at the patient's lifestyle. Are they sleeping? What are they eating? What are their emotions like? You know, what toxins are they exposed to? Are they getting injections of too many things? You know what I mean? Are they eating toxins, injecting toxins, and so on? So for me, it was such a wake-up call. While I was in nursing school, and I had to, for example, myself get a couple of vacs that were making me extremely ill. And that's when I started researching more. What are the ingredients in injections? And by injections, you know what I mean? The jabs, all kinds of jabs. So I researched, and that's part of my PhD too, is studying ingredients, looking at their adjuvants, their heavy metals, seeing what's going on there, and knowing it's not really for the patient's benefit. It's for the pharmaceutical industry and the doctor's benefit for their pockets, unfortunately. And so that was one of the biggest wake-up calls I had. And that's when I, you know, decided to shift more into the holistic way of helping the patient from the root cause and helping them heal ailments and reverse ailments from the root cause. So
that's great. Yeah. I feel like that's a common, or at least that's the first thing I think happens to us as humans when we realize that the medical field isn't what we thought it was. Like, I think that's the first question we ask ourselves is, why isn't the doctor asking me any of these questions about my life? Why are they just giving me these? And why am I just repeating information that I don't know is true to my friends and family without any evidence? Like, red meat's bad for you. And like, why are you saying that? You're like, because doctors told me. Like, okay, that's it. That's your only story. Like, there's a lot of things that people do and say in the medical field that is just reiterated garbage. That's really not in any way truth. And once you start questioning that a little bit and going down the rabbit hole, you go, it just blows your brain up. Like, there's so much to learn. And I'm, like I said, I'm not any way medically affiliated with anything really, but now that I am, it's starting to become something that I talk about all the time, and I'm definitely invested in. And it's hard to not go down the rabbit hole with these things.
100%. Yeah. Doctors go this way, and unfortunately, a lot of patients don't like to research and don't like to be their own advocates. And so they listen to anything they say and say, okay, whatever you say. How about research? When your baby is sick, or when you're taking your baby for a well visit, and they're telling you, take these 20 injections, but you're not really researching. And only then, when the child is really sick or got some severe side effect, or who knows what they got from these, whether it's vaccines, medications, whatever the case is, and only then do they wake up. So instead of saying, sure, how about research? Ask questions, ask the doctors, show me the inserts, show me the data. What can you tell me about it? Always ask questions.
Yes, I think experts are the ones that need checks and balances the most. I mean, like, for some reason, when it comes to education or medical field like that, it just doesn't happen as often, because the title alone kind of gives you this sort of invisible cloak for no one to touch you. Like, as to where, like, a martial arts, you can be a black belt all you want, but one day someone's going to come along who may be a blue or a brown belt and may get you rethinking things. Like, okay, I thought I knew everything, but that dude who's a lower rank than me just schooled me in 30 minutes. So I have to start reevaluating what I do, which is great, because that gives you a check and balance. Even though you have that ultimate black belt title, you may have to rethink your position on certain things. And like, it's very apparent with physical things, but when it comes to like intellectual things, a lot of the times we'll go, well, he's a doctor, he knows more than you. Like, well, yeah, most of it. Yeah, most of the stuff he knows more than me. But there are going to be times where that doesn't mean we shouldn't question him. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't get his brain working, because if he just always thinks he's right and no one challenges him, that's how we get to a dictatorship type of thinking, where everything he says is right and everyone else says is wrong. It's a weird place that we're in.
100%. Yeah. And unfortunately, in medical school, they're trained to not think for themselves. They're trained to learn what they learn, and that's it, and not question. So when a patient comes in and they also don't question, that's when the cascade of events of no one's asking questions, everybody's just going this way. And it's a shame. Like, people should ask questions, and they're trained in such a different way. We are trained to ask and to think outside of our box, right? I always think outside of the box. I wonder, I question. I don't just accept everything at face value. So I always ask. So that's when I started asking more questions and get more curious about detoxing, which is something big of my practice and what I've been doing for many, many years. How can you reverse disease? How can you do, more anti-aging? How can you look young when you're older? How can you feel young when you're older, right? How can you feel better when you're older? When everybody's like, it's just your age, you're getting older. No, it's not. There are things that are contributing to it. So ask questions. That is always what I tell anyone. And if I have something to share, I will share, like, either it's evidence or, go research it. Don't just trust me, right? Right. You should trust me, but go research it.
Love it. Love it. What are the core things that you, at least you think you spread to people when it comes to detoxing, as such as what are the remedies, supplements, antioxidants, probiotics? What are these things that you're telling people to at least get started on, that they can get going on the right foot? Maybe they're out of shape. Maybe they're way overweight and they're just ready to make that switch now, and they're tired of living a certain way. And these are the basic things they can start get going.
Yeah, so I always start with lifestyle. Before I even get to supplements, what is your lifestyle like? So I always question, how many hours are you sleeping? Make sure you are getting 7 to 9 hours. Most people are getting 7, maybe 6, maybe 5, maybe 4. And they're like, I don't need more. And so that's crucial. You want to make sure you're sleeping, because when you sleep, you heal. And that's how your body repairs itself, right? So sleeping is number one for anti-aging, for disease prevention, for disease repair, for anything. So sleep, make sure you're getting your lemon water in the morning. I always urge people, get your lime or lemon, get your body alkaline, hydrated, right? So get your sleep, get your lemon, lime, get your sunshine. Don't be afraid of the sun. Don't believe the doctors who tell you, go apply all the regular sunscreen on the planet so you don't get any sun. No, you need the sun exposure, and you need that vitamin D that goes directly in your eyes, directly on your skin. I actually just made my own natural sunscreen with just a few ingredients. None of the stuff that they put in regular sunscreens. So you want to make sure you're sleeping, you're getting your sunshine, your vitamin D, your vitamin C, lemon water. And there's a whole array of supplements, right? But before that, also, what is your social life like? What is your emotional state like? Are you happy? Are you in a bad relationship? Get out of it. Are you, in a bad environment? Get out of it. So change the things that you can change before you even do all the supplements, because if you're not fixing the root cause, your environment, your lifestyle, but you think you can load up with supplements, you're not going to really help the patient until they fix the other things. So once, all the ducks are in a row, you're happy, you're sleeping well, you're pooping well every day, right? That's also crucial. You're exercising, you're getting your sun, get in the ocean, whatever the case is, getting out there, then you can take supplements. And I'm a big fan of, and by the way, excuse me, I'm a big fan of sauna and sweating. And so that's on a daily basis. So exercise, and if you can't sweat enough, definitely get in a sauna and sweat. And I'm a big fan of supplementation. So when it comes to detoxing, I'm a big fan of vitamin C, liposomal vitamin C in high dosages, anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 milligrams a day, depends on how you feel. I love liposomal glutathione, which is the master of all antioxidants, which is great for detoxing liver, phase 1, phase 2, and also great for graying hair due to the hydrogen peroxide that it actually helps kind of shift in the body. It's a whole different topic we can discuss at some point. So glutathione, vitamin C, vitamin D3, K2, probiotics, of course. and zinc, NAC, which is N-acetyl-L-cysteine, amino acids for, you know, muscles, protein building, and then other botanicals and liver gallbladder herbs for liver detox, lymphatic detox, kidneys, lungs. So there's so many things that you can do daily to help your body cleanse and detox and repair. But really the most important things are vitamin C, D, K, zinc, NAC, glutathione, coenzyme Q10 I love. So there's so many vitamins. I can go on and on and on about supplements and tell you each one what they do. But make sure you sleep, make sure you exercise, make sure you sweat, make sure you eat your veggies, your greens, your folate, right? So, and your protein, clean protein, not, you know, not processed, not antibiotics and any of that, organic food. So there's a whole umbrella of things that you can do to really help the patient, not only from the root cause, but also make sure that they thrive, not just survive.
Right. You know, and I respect that a lot about you, about what you just said right now. I think it's very easy as a doctor to say, these are the big fix it all type of things you can do. I like that you prefaced it with, these are the things you have to do as a person before I can even help you. It's like trying to play baseball and you want the best hitting instructor, but you're like, you can't even hit a fastball or a curveball. You can't even go to bat. You don't even have batting gloves. What are you talking about? Like, you're not even in good shape. Let's get those things together first and they can teach you how to actually hit a ball correctly. But I think a lot of people are looking for those quick shortcuts. You know, what are the best supplements to help me lose weight? This, you're right. It's a lifestyle change first and whatever it takes. I heard someone recently tell me, and it was interesting. I never heard it put this way, but they told me they started getting healthy because for religious reasons. And they didn't say it was because of their faith necessarily in God or not. They said it was actually opposite. They said they started to believe that every bad thought that they were having about their diet, about themselves, whether they said it was true or not, they just told themselves this is how they were functioning, that the devil was the one in charge of making them think this way. And they're like, for some reason, it made it clicked in their head and made it work for them. They were like, oh, then that means it's a person. It's a tangible object I can beat. I can just convince myself, no, screw that guy. I'm not going to let him beat me today. And I'm going to do everything opposite that he tells me to do. He wants me to hang out and just watch TV all day. Nope, I'm going to go do that. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting approach. And I was like, whatever works. I don't know, whatever you have to do to get yourself going, to get your ducks in a row, like you said, to where you're getting the right sleep, to where you're going to the gym consistently, to where you're making the right decisions in the grocery store, whatever works to get on that path first before we start talking supplementation and all those other extra things you're mentioning. It doesn't really matter what makes you get going as long as you're doing it. And I'm a huge believer in sauna. Like you said, I do it all the time. I do it at least 4 or 5 times a week, and man, there are insane benefits for, I think I first started getting, familiar with sauna work with, Dr. Rhonda Patrick on Joe Rogan, like 5, 6, 7 years ago. And then she really just blew it up. I mean, ever since then, it's just been like a big thing for, at least for me in my world. But, wow, I do respect your answer a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate what you're saying too. Absolutely. I love saunas. I think it's the best.
Oh my God. I will invest in one. I don't care if it's 10 grand. If I get a house that's, has some room, I will definitely, I'm in Southern California. There ain't much room around here, but, I'll definitely get a nice sauna in the backyard and be happy with that investment.
Well, if you have no room, you can get an infrared portable one. We carry some, not the wellness company, but I have, you can share a link later if you'd like. It's a great infrared, portable, so easy to open and use. It's like a small little tent, so you can use that in your house.
Love that. Mm-hmm. That's great. Tell me more about your sunscreen too. I use this company right now called The Van Man. They're pretty great. They have a lot of good natural lotions, usually tallow based. And I use their sunscreen as well. But tell me about that. That sounds like an amazing thing.
Mine is vegan. So it's coconut oil, a little bit of zinc, although the original one I put a little too much. I probably should have been a little more mindful. Aloe vera, just a little bit of aloe, pure aloe gel, all organic, and shea butter. So if you take just coconut oil and shea butter and a little bit of zinc, and essential oils, which I love, of course. I use essential oils for everything. That's all you need, because the zinc will already help, so you're not burning. But the oils from the coconut oil is already SPF 15 or 5 or 15. I don't remember exactly. But they're natural sunscreen natural sunscreens. So they're, you know, they're not harmful for the skin. They're not filled with parabens or aluminum or phthalates, which are xenoestrogens, which are harmful for hormones and organs and your body, because xenoestrogens, which are man-made chemicals, which come from like fake perfume or fake scented perfumes or scented scents, right? That's what creates phthalates, and they are extremely carcinogenic and hormone disruptors. And so you don't want to use them in any sunscreen or any oils or lotions. You want to make sure you get the natural. So just by using the oils, the coconut oil, the shea butter, a little bit of zinc, some essential oils, maybe aloe vera, you have a sunscreen. It's great. And whatever else you want to add to it. But I think it's one of the best things. So it's not yet on the market. I just created it for myself and my friends, and I absolutely love it. I enjoy it. It makes your skin so supple and smooth. So
that's amazing. I love that. No, I sometimes think about how I grew up and how like normal it was just to use your basic, like huge level company products, and how it just wasn't a thing that no one ever thought about. Like, of course you use your Dove soap, you know, you use your whatever shampoo, you use your whatever colognes, and it's just like a normal thing that everybody has in their house, their regular toothpaste, you know. And then you start to go down the rabbit hole, probably within the last 10 years or so, with all the information that's come out and all those things and how bad everything is. You're like, oh my God, fluoride's bad. Like, I didn't know that till I'm 25. Like, Jesus, like how I've been using it for 25 years. Like, this is all these things, these chemicals in your soaps and your shampoo. And like you said, phthalates and stuff that, you know, not only do they are carcinogenic, but they cause problems with your testosterone and your hormones in general for men and women. It's just a very crazy thing that you don't know. You're like, I got to re-examine how I live my life. I've been giving myself poison for 30 years. I got to start, you know, researching new stuff. But as much as painful as that realization is, it's actually very liberating. You do find people such as yourself and other innovators that are making these amazing products. They're so simple. And even though they're a little bit more pricey than you'd like, it's worth it in every way. I don't even think about it. It's like when it comes away with coffee, when it comes away with anything, like I'm putting it on my body, in my body, whatever. It's like, it's 100% worth the price and peace of mind. You know, it's, you know, thank God for people like you.
Thank you. No, exactly. So this is what I've been teaching patients for many, many years. And phthalates, by the way, is the worst testosterone inhibitor there is, right? Phthalates will destroy your hormones, your testosterone, your estrogen, progesterone, like anything. So colognes, when men just go and spray colognes on themselves and women go spray perfumes and they use all these scented products, that is the worst. Candles in your home that are not made from essential oils are extremely toxic. So anything that has perfume in it is phthalates, and that is very toxic. So what I teach patients a lot is look around your home. What are you using for cleaners? Are you using regular spray cleaning spray for your floors, for your kitchen, for your dishwasher, for dish soap, shampoo, soap for your shower, right? Toothpaste, right? No fluoride, no carrageenans, no SLS, like none of that stuff. You want to get the cleanest products there are in the market that are not loaded with chemicals that are neurotoxic, bad for your brain, and carcinogenic, bad, and can lead to cancer, right? So make sure you go around your house, use essential oils in a diffuser, use essential oils for cleaning. You can use vinegar, you can use, you know, lemon. There's so many solutions instead of the ones that most people use. Get rid of plugins. Most people have plugins in their house for scented stuff. Every time I go into people's homes where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can smell the Febreze a mile away, get it out. Whatever these are, get it away. Laundry detergents. I literally will not sleep at someone's house if it smells so bad from laundry detergent. I can't. Like, it's so bad for you. I will get headaches. I will get irritable, like my skin. No, thank you. So go get natural stuff. Natural cleaners, natural detergents, natural toothpaste, whatever it is, and make sure you like take care of your body, because what you're putting on in and around your body will affect you positively or negatively.
Yeah, when I found out about the cologne thing, I was pissed too, because I like cologne.
Yeah,
smells
you
nice.
You can use essential oils, but yeah. Yeah, I know.
One of the guys we interviewed on this podcast, he's amazing. Bruce Buffer, he's an announcer for the UFC. and he has an amazing cologne company, and I'll always support it, you know, and I don't even know what's in it. It's none of my business, but yeah, that's another thing I wanted to ask, like, for anything that's like of that sort of nature, chemical wise, does it have to be not on your skin? Like if it's on your clothes and you're just inhaling it, does that count as still going in your system and disrupting?
Yeah, because you're inhaling it.
Okay.
It's not as bad as putting it on your skin, but you're still inhaling it. It's just like plugging it in your wall and you're, you know, surrounded by it. So minimize it, you know, as much as we can. The environment is already toxic with what they're spraying in the air, in the sky, you know, gasoline, also in gas stations, whatever the case is, cars. There's so much toxicity from the environment that we are inhaling it and we're absorbing it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's honestly insane. Like I said, it can easily overwhelm you, all this information, and I understand why. I understand why people would kind of just ignore it all and just go about their day. But like, I think one of the cool quotes I heard before was like, you can either pay for your health now, pay for it later. And I'd rather just pay for it now, you know, and just do the right things now. And they build up and they eventually do become noticeable between your friends and family, people that see you all the time, or maybe someone you haven't seen in a couple months and they receive like, man, you seem happier, you seem more vibrant, your skin looks great. Like,
right.
And it's just a product of all these small things that you're doing on a daily basis that they refuse not to do. And it's it's hard to convince people to start doing those things. What were the things that convinced you? Are there any books, role models, people that you saw in that sort of line of work maybe, or companies that kind of inspired you to keep pushing the envelope to start thinking this way?
It was my own journey, my own illness, actually, after the military, after I was in the Israeli military and had to fight. I was sleeping 14, 15 hours a day and I was still exhausted. My limbs were swollen. My spleen was enlarged. No one figured out what I had. Every doctor in Israel couldn't figure it out and send me to another. And they're like, here's a pill. And I'm like, I'm not taking any pills. Something is wrong and you guys are not figuring it out. And it wasn't until I started getting acupuncture and holistic medicine, and also looked in the iridology, the reading of the eye, and learned what was blocked and what was going on. And I had to change my nutrition and I had to do things that are different than what I used to doing and detox. It wasn't until then that I started really, and then going to nursing school and really finding out more of the Western versus more holistic and how they look at things and how they just shove medications and vaccines and whatever without even asking the person any questions. So it wasn't until then that I really started opening my eyes when I was living in New York City, going to school and reading so much while I was in school, just stumbled upon one thing after another, led me to the right doctors, the right things, the right articles, research.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. It was just a cascade of events.
Wow. Acupuncture, something I've never done. I've always been scared. I'm not a big needle guy.
Doesn't hurt. But yeah.
I've heard it's incredible. Explain to me the process of acupuncture.
Yeah, acupuncture is, well, obviously it's an ancient Eastern medicine for thousands of years, been around. In Eastern medicine, there are channels or meridians on the body that have specific points. Each point has a specific function. You can also look at it in the more scientific way of neurovascular nodes and channels and points that are connected to the spine and brain, spinal cord and brain. And that's how they kind of create, again, a cascade of events to light up and send signals to the body and help with pain, help, you know, stimulate, help kind of balance, bring your body back into homeostasis. We use really fine needles. They're so fine, you won't even feel them normally. But when someone has a lot of stagnation or stasis, when things are not moving, that's why exercise is so important and sleep. But when things are stuck, that's when people have pain, headaches, depression, fatigue. There's so many ways of diagnosing. So we have English is my second language. We differentiate with different pattern differentiation, that can help us dictate. So we look at the tongue and see what's going on internally in your body. We feel your pulse. I can see someone's eyes and color and kind of feel and tell a lot of what's going on with the person just by doing all that. Just the tongue itself will tell me a lot. So once we have a diagnosis of, you know, their lifestyle, their foods, their sleep, are they hot or cold? Are they, you know, too energetic, too tired, whatever the case is, I formulate a diagnosis, and accordingly we figure out how to treat them. So it's a beautiful medicine. I don't treat as much with acupuncture. I do combine acupuncture with different injections that I do, like I said, for scars, for breast explants, C-section, facial scars, any scars, which is great. Scars hold a lot of stagnation as well. So that kind of throws your body and your autonomic nervous system off. So it helps bring your body back into balance. So it's great.
Wow, that's incredible. I wanted to dive into it, and I know it's a touchy subject, but your upbringing in Israel, obviously the world is at chaos right now. That's probably an understatement. What has happened in the last month or so has been some of the most horrific things any of us have ever, you know, been a part of. Can you tell me what it was like growing up in Israel and then leading up to your thoughts on what's happening today?
Yeah, I grew up in Israel for 22 years. I was born there, born, raised in the military. Israel, unfortunately, is a small country surrounded by Arab countries who hate Israel. They hate the Jewish people, unfortunately. Anti-Semitism has been around for thousands of years, right? It's been around for so long. We've seen it in the Holocaust. People are still denying it, unfortunately. We still see it today. Growing up in Israel was fun, but also stressful, because, for example, in the Gulf War in 1991, I was a little girl. We had to kind of hide because of Scud missiles coming from Iraq, and they threatened us with, you know, gas. And so we had to sit in a room with gas masks. And it's like, what are we doing? I was a little girl, so I didn't really know anything. I just listened and did what I was told. Hiding, you know, sirens or sounds. So now I literally have PTSD from every siren I hear. And what's going on now in Israel, and by the way, unfortunately, a lot of suicide bombers we had growing up that used to just infiltrate into Israel, go into a big crowd and just blow themselves up and kill a lot of Jewish people, a lot of Israelis on buses. I mean, I have horror stories, but I will never forget. It was in high school. I had to go to Jerusalem for a biology project I had to do. So I took the bus, and I hate buses. And ever since then, I even hate them more. Sorry. But I took the bus. A week later, on that same day, or like exactly a week later, same line, there was a suicide bomber on that line on the bus. And I said, I'm never again getting on a bus in Israel. Because you just don't know. I mean, you feel safe most of the time, and it is safe most of the time. But sometimes there is more chaos than other times. And right now, what's been happening, October 7th, over 2,000 Hamas terrorists infiltrated Israel into the villages right around Gaza, also into the festival that took place right by Gaza border. God knows why they did it right there. I know a lot of people who were there who were murdered, but they took over, infiltrated, raped a lot of women from their homes literally at 7 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. while they were sending missiles from Gaza towards Israel to destruct. They were infiltrating via air, sea, and water. I don't know. We still don't know how the hell that happened. Infiltrated the villages with guns, shot everything and anything they saw on the way, got into homes, like infiltrated homes, took women and children, either beheaded babies, cut a pregnant lady's belly, took the baby out, beheaded the baby, beheaded the mom, and burned them, raped children, raped women in front of their dead friends that they killed in that massacre that happened, that killed so many people, including some of my friends' kids, raped them in front of their dead friends, kidnapped over 200 people, not just Israelis, but other people as well, whomever was around, killed a Holocaust survivor, shot her, kidnapped soldiers and killed soldiers left and right. It was just a horrific, horrific day, and still is. The scenes and the pictures and the videos that I've seen And what I've heard is so traumatic. Never in the history of our lives, I feel, even in a Holocaust, no one has ever done anything like this. This is pure hate, pure anti-Semitism. They want to kill all the Jews, of course. They're coming to America. They're here. They're looking for people too. It's not just going to be in Israel, unfortunately. So everyone has to be vigilant now. There's so much anti-Semitism all around. But what happened in Israel that day and still is happening is beyond, it's not even, evil doesn't even exist like that. I've never seen anything like that. So it's been very, very difficult. Of course, Israel is not going to sit quiet. They're retaliating. We at least give them notice. We gave them 48 hours to get out. We told the Palestinians, get out of Gaza, go to Egypt, go to different places, go out of there. And they still tell them constantly to get out because they have to get in and finish Hamas. Hamas is not a nice organization. It's a terror organization. It's like ISIS. It's like the Nazis. And they're after anything and anyone that moves that doesn't support them. And they don't even care about the people, their people. They use them as human shields, unfortunately. So, and so much fake news is coming out, unfortunately, from, you know, Gaza and Hamas to BBC and CNN and God knows all these channels that are fake news, unfortunately. But Israel has to retaliate, and we still give supplies and still care about the Palestinians that are innocent, of course. We don't want to hurt them. Unfortunately, they live there and they're ruled under Hamas, who took place in 2005 or 2007, I forget, and have been, you know, taking charge. And they also rape their women there. They behead gays, and they don't accept anyone that's not their own terrorist. And they literally showed that they promised them that any person you kidnap, the more you kidnap, the more money you get, and you get an apartment and like all these incentives. For them to kill someone is a what should I say? It's good, as they say, right? It's a good deed. I forget the word in English, but for us, we don't want to kill anyone. We just want to save lives, and that's what we do mostly. Unfortunately, we have to retaliate. So it's been a really, really tough time because the world is angry. They're getting misinformation. They keep saying free Palestine, and free Palestine should be freed from Hamas. Israel and Palestine, you know, Israel left Gaza and gave them Gaza a long time ago. So it's just an ugly, ugly situation. And there's just, it's since then, it's become crazy. There are still missiles falling. My family has to go hiding every time there's a siren. You just don't know. So it's extremely unsafe and scary right now, especially.
Wow. Thank you for elaborating on that. First of all,
sorry for all the horror.
No, that's what you said is what needed to be heard for a lot of people. I don't know if people really know how bad it is. I think it's very easy, especially here in America, to just put on your blinders and just act like it's not happening and focus on the problems we have here, which believe me, I know are very big. It's not like you should ignore either of them though. You should definitely focus on both.
And absolutely.
Sorry for the loss of, you know, your friends and everything.
Yeah.
And you're right. There is a moral difference between how Israel responded and what the original attack from Hamas was. You said they gave warning. They did. Hamas gave zero warnings. They just terrorized them, and that's it. And it's this situation, just like anything else in the world, whenever there's some sort of, no matter how small or big situation, it tends to show the colors of people. And I was just in Chicago last weekend, and there was a march for free Palestine. And it's the same people that are at basically every march. I mean, there's not really
BLM.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you realize that everyone at these protests are just the same people at every other protest, like that, you realize these are just very, very troubled people that have no way of critically thinking whatsoever. The irony that most of the people there were, a lot of them were probably gay. A lot of them were probably feminists. But the irony that they don't realize that they wouldn't even have a life in Palestine while marching for Palestine is...
They'd be dead right away.
Absolutely.
There is no tolerance for feminists or gay or women or anything.
Right. Right. And it's something they don't even realize. It's hard to understand that this even happens here in this country. But I think just from the experiences that you had growing up, you know, you're forced to go, like you guys go to the military, like it's part of your government. Growing up with sirens like that, I think we all have problems in our lives, whether we choose to have them or they're given to us because we, that's of our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I think when we don't get them from external circumstances like you did, we give ourselves some that don't even deserve to be there. We make some up. And I feel that way about the youth in America. I feel like they give themselves ridiculous problems that they don't need because everybody wants to suffer and everybody wants to conquer those sufferings so they can feel like they did something with their life. And some people have those externally. You're raised in a communist country, you don't have to look for suffering. It's given to you already. And then you mm-hmm. conquer it. And then you get out, you go, okay, now I know what that is. Don't want no part of it. Here in America, we have it so good, especially like in great weather places like Southern California, where you have everything given to you. It's just so easy to create problems for yourself that aren't there. So you go to these protests to feel important and you have no idea what you're even shouting about.
They have no idea. They're so ignorant and they won't educate themselves on what's really going on. They think right. they do.
And someone like yourself who was raised there, who has inside information, who's been there, can talk to them until they're blue and they'll call you a person who's very knowledgeable and personally involved. Someone who's a bad person, they'll call you every name in the book. They'll say, you don't know what you're talking mm-hmm. about. And it's like, I don't know how we got here. I don't know mm-hmm. if it's the, I know it's a lot of different reasons, the participation trophy generation. I know that's like a huge part of it, obviously. But it's just a terrible thing that's going on. And you're right. It is going to affect Jewish people in America. I knew that right away. When it was
already affecting.
Yeah, that's the first thing I
thought. So it happened to Daniel.
Yeah, it's the first thing I thought was like, people think this is just Israel. Like, no way. If you're Jewish in America, you better be nervous because there's a lot of things that you aren't going to be able to control. There's a lot of open border policies have given people here, you know, a chance to thrive here that probably shouldn't deserve to have a chance. There's a lot of people that do, and there's bad people here that we don't know are here. And their only goal is to carry out what the rest of the world's doing, whether it be war going on with Russia and Ukraine or over here with Hamas and Israel. Right. So it's a scary, scary time. It really is.
It really is scary and unsettling. I mean, we saw what happened in LA this morning or yesterday when someone was trying to break into a Jewish home and say, free Palestine, free Palestine. Obviously, he's arrested. Yesterday in Maine, someone just went and shot 20 people to death. Who knows what that was all about? Nowhere are we really safe. We just have to be extra vigilant and careful as much as possible. Not join any of these protesters that are shouting BLM or Free Palestine or support the Nazis, because that's literally what they're doing. If it happened to them, believe me, they wouldn't do it. Or their family, they wouldn't do it. They would question. They would actually open their eyes. So, as I say, coming to a town near us, right, near them, they are so naive and gullible that they're nothing like that can happen here. And when it does happen, when ISIS or Hamas or those horrible terrorists, scary, are coming to hunt down anyone, then maybe they will wake up. And I hope that doesn't happen, but it's already happening.
Yeah, it's the classic, until it happens to me, then I'll start giving exactly. a shit, right? It's like, so it's like with the pandemic where I'll shut down all these businesses, but I won't shut down mine. You know, I'll shut down all these schools, but my kids are going to school. Or, you know, we'll have all this harsh treatment towards military and police. But, you know, but as long as my kids aren't part of the military or police, then as a politician, what do I care? You know, there's not
but
a lot.
You should, of, but everyone kids. Should care, right?
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot of politicians' kids sign up to go to the Marines nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And
right.
But if they did, I watch the veteran benefits skyrocket. All of a sudden, they're great, you know, because it happens to you now. So now you get it. It's unfortunate that that is a thing. You know, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, and unrelated, but kind of similar, where they were talking about having their first baby. And they were doing the classic, you know, spiel, which is not like, I don't mean to say that, like put it down, but they're like saying, like, you don't know until you have a kid what true love feels like. They say things like that. And it's true. I believe what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that, like, you should be able to have enough foresight and empathy and be able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes ahead of time before a situation comes. In other words, like, I hear that a lot from people that became fathers or mothers, whatever. And then that is a thing that motivated them to get their lives together. Mm-hmm. And I always was on the path of like, why don't you just do it before they get here? Why don't you just pretend you're a dad ahead of time? Really pretend, really envision yourself as the dad that you want to be before you even become one. So when that time comes, it's not the craziest, overwhelming feeling in the world where you're like, I never knew what love was like. Well, you should know before. Like, that's not like a thing you should brag about. I've always been confused by that as a statement of like profound, you know, I never understood. Like, it's a beautiful thing that you're experiencing, but same thing with world, you know, I guess experiences is you should be able to put yourself in the shoes of someone living in Israel. Just because you're not experiencing it, you should be able to sit down, close your eyes, and really think what it's like to hear sirens, to someone to break into your house and to try to rape your family and kids in front of you. And or for people to, I mean, that phone call just came out where like it was pretty brutal, where the person's calling their family back home in Palestine saying, I killed 10 Jews. And they're like celebrating, and they're to hear that it just gets you infuriated. But you should be able to put yourself in other people's shoes. I never understood why people find that so hard to do. I think it's like the marker of somebody who's at least trying to be intelligent, you know, at least emotionally.
There is no emotional intelligence to those humans. I'm sorry.
None.
Like none. Right. Exactly. None.
Yeah, it's a very scary thing. And
no compassion, nothing.
None. Yeah, none. Yeah. And it's everything that happens on the world scale eventually bleeds into other nations. I do think the upcoming election is going to be a big deal for the world.
We need it fixed ASAP.
Yeah. ASAP. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people are starting to admit that they are wrong with the choices they had for president. I mean, they should have admitted it literally like 3 years ago. I don't know why it took them this long, but
yeah.
We'll see. I think obviously not one person can fix everything, but there's small decisions we can all make, including who runs for president to change this path we're on for a bunch of things, you know, obviously just not only on a world scale like that, but like our initial talk, medicine, you know, we got governors in California saying you can cut off your stuff and run to another state and we're not going to tell your parents. And there's all kinds of crazy stuff. We need better leaders. But it starts from the roots up, you know, it starts with people like you who are at least can influence, you know, someone like me who's just a nobody. And
you
then
are somebody.
Thank you.
An important someone.
Thank you so much. But I need role models. I need people that inspire me. I need people that are go-getters like yourself, so I can spread the word of you guys. And then I feel like that's where I have some sort of importance, where I can be able to put people on a platform like yourself who have a lot to say and are filled with great information. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Do me a favor. Please tell everybody where they can find your products, everything related to the wellness company. I want them to follow up with you, your social media, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that way they can just keep getting the best information out there.
Yeah. I can put it in the chat. No chat. So my Instagram is, I follow my Instagram. That's dr.hadarsofia. So it's dr.hadar. SOPHIA. That's my Instagram. The wellness company follows me too. So wellness company is TWC.health. And that is our Instagram as well. TWC.health is the website. And yeah, so I have my website is The Vibrant Glow. But TWC will lead you guys. I'm on there, and my Instagram dr.hadarsofia. And I have a lot of supplements, products. We carry stuff with TWC. We have our spike support. We have our spike support for adult and children. We have our new COVID emergency kit that just came out with ivermectin, Z-Pack, azithromycin, a nebulizer. And then we have the medical emergency kit, which also has different antibiotics and medications and different things. Urge anyone to take a look at that on the website. You have a link, I'm sure, or if you need a link, let me know. So yeah, we have those great products and different supplements as well. If anyone needs anything, just feel free to contact me on Instagram as well. Easily found, and I respond to messages as much as possible.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining the show. And again, best wishes to you and your family in Israel.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your compassion and time with this. Thank you.
My pleasure. This has been Alternate Take. We'll see you guys later. Peace. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen, our interview with the great doctor of the wellness company, Dr. Hadar Elbaz. Thank you so much for joining the show. I had such a great, great time. you definitely are an amazing human being. And it was an honor to speak with you and get your take on all those things that we spoke about. I mean, Jesus, I mean, for you to stay level-headed during this time is a lot to ask for, and you're doing it beautifully, and I respect that so much. For all you guys who are now Dr. Hadar Albala's fans, go to thewellnesscompany.com, twc.health/alternate tag. You can read her bio. You can buy all the amazing products that we spoke about. You can use the promo code alternate take, one word, and you'll get 10% off, man. But more importantly, dude, you'll become a better human being. That's what we're all about, baby. And go to, I put all of Dr. Hadar's social media in the podcast description, so you can go find out all of her stuff, what she posts. She's always posting some great stuff, so go check that out. Anyways, thank you guys for joining the show, man. I had such a great time. This has been Alternate Take. My name is Daniel Rodriguez. I'll see you guys later. Peace.